You are listening to the one and only Visionaries Wrestling Network, envisioning excellence and providing your perfect podcast experience.
Right, Matt, if you stop eating, we need an introduction. I'm Alex. We'll give him a minute to finish eating. And welcome to episode 28 of the Game In Podcast. The Game Junkies.
We'll start again, shall we?
Oh, it's an alright intro.
Yeah.
Need to be professional. So,
right.
In today's episode, we're talking about Halo, specifically part 2. This time we're talking about Halo 4 and Halo 5 Guardians.
We are.
But, before that, what have you been playing, Matt?
Right. Playing-wise, at risk of being an eye roll, yes, been playing some more FIFA, but mainly because it's a good thing to pass the time sometimes. But, on the main part, been playing a lot of Pokemon Shield. No bigger, Alex. We've developed this new little game we play. We've got just the past battling up, which Alex will explain.
It's an idea I got off the internet actually.
Mm.
But it's basically gym leader teams, just taking one specific typing and hoping to God that who we're facing doesn't have the type we're weak to.
Which you always seem to have the one which will kick my team's ass.
I do get quite lucky, I will be honest.
It has been like a draw, but it's still good fun. What else have we been playing? BattleTech 99. Well, there's one big thing, of course, right, which is we've both been getting back in the GTA.
Yes, but we'll get onto that one in a minute.
Yes. For a very, very specific reason. Aside from that, bit Resident Evil 2, go back and playing it. Just get myself ready for the next one, which is coming out in a few weeks' time. Which is less than a month away at time.
That's really just mad. Unless it gets delayed.
Capcom won't delay it now.
No, I know. They've already said that it's basically done.
Yeah, at the risk of scolding my co-host here, do not even joke about it.
No, I will be gutted if that happened.
Matt's has been pushed back.
I just can't handle any more game delays.
Yeah, some games have been delayed, but that's okay because there's still plenty of good stuff to play in the meantime. As for other stuff I've been playing, been playing a bit of Rocket League today, actually. Before we came on the air, I was just playing a bit of Rocket League with Ben, and it was nice to get back into it again, which is good. Just dabbling with a few bits here and there. I'm very much into Sporkle on my mobile app at the moment. It's a quiz app, so I like that because it helps me win quizzes, like when I won the second Wrestling Ashes test. It's good for training your mind and making you think better, which sometimes I need. What about you, Alex? What have you been playing?
Well, I've been playing a lot of GTA, obviously, as we will say in a minute. I've been playing a lot of Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order.
You have.
I've also been playing Skyrim, because it's always fun to jump back into that after a while.
I have been playing a bit of Skyrim as well, yes.
I haven't played a lot of Pokemon, to be honest. I've taken a bit of a break from it.
By a break, guys, he means a week. He's not played for a week. That's because he's been playing GTA.
And I did need a bit of time off of it because I was getting bored of it. But there is a new event out where you can battle Mewtwo in the Max Raid Dens. He's level 100 and he has basically every move in the game, and I've only beaten him once so far.
Yeah, Chris mentioned that to me the other day.
He's strong. And if you got it, I'd highly advise that you go fight him.
I think it may be one we'll go and look for later on, maybe, after finish recording.
What else have I been playing? I think that's about it, really.
Okay. Now, do you want to tell the good listeners why you've been playing GTA so much?
Open wheel racers. Alex, that is the main reason.
Alex has crossed to the dark side, ladies and gentlemen. Alex has joined us, open wheel racers. Everyone who knows me knows I'm an F1 fan. You have an F1 podcast. I am very happy to see Alex is enjoying it so much, he's actually contemplating watching the Grand Prix on the 15th of March. That's saying something.
If I can watch it, and if I can be bothered to watch it.
He's come a long way, people. He's come a long way. I'm very happy that he's contemplating it. Let's face it. Racing, let's face it. Australian Grand Prix is the best one of the year as well, so it's either.
I suppose it was what I needed, because the problem I have with GTA is it takes so long to have any form of updates that I end up, like, taking a month or two off of it, time to time, which is what I did again. But the open wheel racers is cracking fun.
It's brought the racers back in. Because
I've never liked racing in that game, but with the fact they have vehicle damage, you've got to take into such consideration that you can ram other players because you fuck your vehicle. It completely deters anyone from doing that. Yeah. And they're just like nothing that the game's ever had.
No, and Rockstar created some very good tracks. I grant you there's one in particular which annoys the hell out of me because Alex is way better than I am. But there are a few circuits which I've got a certain passion for. So, no one's going to like every track. It's not possible. Everyone's got their favourites. And my favourite one is definitely the one down at the airbase.
To be fair, I think it's only my favourite track because I'm 1.9 seconds off the world record of it so far.
Mm.
Which is pretty good, I think.
And the good thing is that, I mean, I know some people are really pushed the boundaries, but I'm not entirely sure people can hack these tracks, as it were.
Not yet, anyway. That's one thing that's always sucked about their races.
Mm.
Is you go on some tracks and they have like
8 seconds.
They're like 4 minutes long and the record is 38 seconds. It's just, what's the point?
Yeah. What's the,
you know it's not a genuine record, so why would you want it?
Mm. Whereas the time they've set for example, the one that you like, which is, I think it's called Heist of Society.
Heights of Society.
Heights of Society, sorry. That one, it's a great track, don't get me wrong. I'm a little bit annoyed because how close some of the telegraph poles are to the...
But that's fine. Their tracks are a bit hit and miss, really. They're good. Some of them are good, I won't deny that, but they are a bit hit and miss.
And the problem is I hit and you miss. So, but they put a lot of effort into these, and
yeah, they've taken their time with this. They haven't rushed it.
Mm.
It's expensive, especially for Matt, because he didn't win the podium car.
Nope, had to sell most of my garage to buy one. But I tell you what, worth it.
Mm.
And Alex has been all like, what's the best setup for this track? This then I'm like, right, I need a few laps to get me head around the idea. But I tell you what, you can actually set the car up properly as well. But well, I'd like if you could like tweak it a little bit before each race, but that's not how GTA racing works. So I'm trying to convince Alex to move to an F1 game at some point. In fact, it'd be quite interesting to have a non F1 fan review the F1 game this year, Alex. Sound like a plan, I think.
Sounds like a plan.
Absolutely. Right. Now, I think we've talked enough about GTA for now, Alex, because we've got two games which we lost our shit over when we replayed them at the end of last year. Now, we need to get talking about them because sooner or later, we've got some more to play. So, shall we talk about Halo?
Right. So, we'll obviously start them in order, starting with Halo 4, which it's been a while, actually, now, since we started Halo 4.
It was.
What... Okay, let me just jump straight to it.
Yeah.
What? How good was it for you? Was it better than the last game?
Well, Halo 3 did kind of tie it all up quite neatly, to be brutally honest. Halo 4, at first, it did feel like they're trying to crowbar something in, but at the same time, if that was what they were trying to do, they did a good job because it did flow quite naturally.
Yeah, it's like trying to kick a dead horse back into life, but they managed to succeed getting the horse to walk again.
Yeah, which was incredible. And then, you know, the fact that Cortana was failing as well, that she would, like, what was it called? Revenants, wasn't it? Or... Maybe she had the illness where she was going to end up getting corrupted.
She was basically going senile, wasn't she?
Yeah. Tweet at us, guys, if we got this wrong. So, it was an interesting concept, having her go feral, for lack of a better term, but I liked it. I liked it. It had a different side to her character, and the relationship between her and John, aka the Master Chief, it was nice to see.
Rampancy.
Thank you, Alex. Thank you. Thank you, Google.
Almost Google, actually, but yeah.
Yeah, so the story itself, Alex, your thoughts on it?
I'm one of those people who feel like when a story ends perfectly, there shouldn't be a need to continue it. So, I found it was a bit meh, really.
Hmm.
The whole bad guy situation of the story. I think the only reason that it really won me over was the whole Cortana dying and saying goodbye to Master Chief at the end. I think that's what saved it, really. Because, I mean, I'm not one to complain usually. Actually, that's a complete fucking lie. But
no, Sage,
the final boss was a quick time event.
Hmm.
That just annoyed me a bit.
A bit.
I will be honest.
Guys, I can't repeat, even though it's not a PG show, I can't repeat the words he used on when that happened.
You can tell they're struggling when your final boss is a quick time event.
No boss should ever be a quick time event, ever.
No, I mean, it should have played out like Halo 2, if you remember. You had the whole arena, and he was basically able to one-shot you.
I remember.
So
I remember shouting and screaming a great deal.
How many times have we had to redo that boss?
Thankfully, not too many, because...
I think four or five times, wasn't it?
We were able to heal each other and get ourselves up each time. So it wasn't too bad.
Yeah, I think we beat him on like our fourth or fifth try. But yeah. it feels like wasted potential having the final boss being a quick time event.
Mm. So it didn't leave
much room to be enjoyed. The ending felt rushed. It felt a bit slow. It tended to pick up pace halfway through. It got quite exciting. But then the final mission in the boss being a quick time event just it's all squished into one level. It just didn't feel right, did it?
It did feel a little bit... It wasn't the best game of the series, I'll put it that way.
No.
And it's if I was to go back and like look at all the games of Halo I'd played up to that point, replayability, I'd probably say, well, I probably wouldn't.
No.
There's nothing against Halo 4.
No, it did do things right.
The control scheme, you know, it
it was a bit revamped. It allowed you to run properly. It gave you more options, more weapons.
Gave you the
smoothed out combat. It's always a gameplay in like combat. It's always an improvement to the last.
Yeah.
But for the story, it just really flopped, I think.
No, I agree. It gave you the HUD inside the helmet, which we both said, like, oh my god.
Yeah, great. The HUD is what it needed.
Yeah. I'm like, but obviously, like, restricted with what the console could do at times and everything, of course, because obviously the first three were all Xbox One. No, not Xbox One, but you know what? Original Xbox and 360 titles, whereas, you know, 4 was, I think still 360, wasn't it? 4 was. But it was good.
It was good. Yeah, it was actually.
Hmm. They still held up, and that was good. In terms of, you know, we didn't really have many network issues either.
If you go back to when we played Halo 2, we had a lot of network issues. We actually took a break from it, hoping that they would improve it.
That's why it took so long for us to get the actual reviews out, because we started this a while ago, and Chris, bless him, the amount of times he plugged on his show, there is a Halo review coming, guys. I promise you it is coming. He must have said it every episode for like nine shows. So thank you, Chris, for bearing with us. And we are now, thankfully, we're on the second part now, but the connections for Halo 2 were ridiculous. They patched it up on the Xbox One's Master Collection. That's what the problem was. And it's now fine. So that's good.
I don't think there's a lot more left to talk about this game, to be honest. I'm eager to talk about Halo 5, to be honest.
We'll move to that second, but one thing that still annoyed me was the damn vehicles.
Where this is going.
They still didn't fix the control scheme.
I think it's unique to Halo, and I think that's why it's always been the way it is. They haven't improved it because it's so unique to Halo. Even if it's uniquely awful, it's unique to them, isn't it?
Just because it's unique doesn't mean it's good, Alex.
I agree. As I said, uniquely awful, but it's their own style, isn't it?
I guess.
The cars aren't nice to drive in that game. The tank's not too bad, but the tank doesn't have any pace to it, so it doesn't matter.
I guess.
But when you drive something fast like a Warthog, you try to take a corner and you just slide it and then overcorrect yourself because the controls are just so unnecessarily annoying.
So, before we move on to Halo 5, Alex, let's give us a score.
I'm gonna give it a 5 out of 10, to be honest. It's a good game graphics-wise. It improves on gameplay in combat, as all newer games should. But it just truly flops and feels rushed when you get to the main story of it. If you for story, you just can't compare it to the last game, can you?
Nah, absolutely not.
And the last game was the perfect finish. This game does allow for the perfect finish, but it doesn't feel as much as a gem as the last game did.
Nah, I'm giving it a 6 out of 10, because for all reasons you've just given, Alex, as well. But the other thing is that when they started up again, obviously, it was like years later, obviously, after the events of Halo 3. They didn't actually fully explain the reason why the Covenant were warring at first.
No, they didn't. I reckon it was like space pirates, to be honest.
And the Arbiter was nowhere to be seen. Of course, he would make a return in Halo 5, and Halo 5, let's just say, Alex is always smiling, as I mentioned the name of it. Alex, let's move on to Halo 5.
It's an improvement. Let's just start with that.
Mm.
Combat. You can now actually aim down scopes. the new weapons are amazing. The graphics bump up is huge. It runs a lot smoother. And what one of my favorite things is, which I know doesn't work in single player, but when you do multiplayer, you can pick which character you want as long as someone's still the main character.
Yeah, so when we were playing together, that's fine. And I'm like, that's cool. That's cool. I didn't know who I was playing as, to be fair. It was...
No, it's just a cool little extension, I find.
It was. I think the graphics were enhanced massively. I'm going to do my best to give Alex his voice at this point, who he's now cringing at what I'm about to do. But when I was like, Alex, pull your left trigger, and he did so, and he went, yes!
It was Sony. I can never understand why it was never a thing. It's always been awkward aiming in Halo games.
You're kidding. Click the mic in, and they're like, no one has that. So they did bring some controls in line with others, to be fair.
It feels a lot more first-person shooter to the rest of the games, doesn't it?
It solved a lot of problems which had been there since Halo 1. And it's... To actually talk about the tagline for the first one, this actually was combat evolved. Which sounds like a cliche, but yeah, they finally did. Because it's gone to the next level now, and Halo 6 is on the horizon. And with it coming to Xbox One and Xbox Series X, that one will be a game for the future to play for certain. We will move on to that more before it comes out. And that'll be good, because that'll be an actual live review of that. Because we've still got to go back and play, like, ODST and all that stuff as well.
We got ODST, Halo Reach, which is, from what I've heard, one of the better games that they've made. And if it's multiplayer, I wouldn't mind giving Halo Wars a go.
We'll go and have a look.
It's not story-based in the way... It doesn't play like the normal games, if you've seen it. It's like bird's eye... I'm not too sure exactly what you do, but I know it's a bird's eye view game.
Well, we'll go back and have a look at Alex. Don't worry about that.
Yeah, but we can come back to that next episode.
Exactly. First things first, Alex. Story. Your thoughts on it.
Well, I mean, if we're comparing it to Halo 4, because I always tend to go off what it was like to the last game...
Yeah.
There's no comparison. It's so much better in every level. Each character plays their role in the story that makes it good enough. The story has a lot more meaning to it. It doesn't feel confusing or non-understandable. Like, everyone has a role and everything is explained.
Yeah.
The Arbiter makes a return, which is cool.
But
you actually go to war with the Covenant against the Covenant. You fight in their civil war, which I thought was a really good mission. Though we did struggle towards the end of that mission.
And against the other ones as well. Who were they against? Yeah,
when you're on the last area fighting all the Prometheans in the enemy Covenant.
The thing which I found the best is you kept changing sides of who you were fighting alongside. It's like, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. Everybody, literally, for those people who think of like a triangle, like a love triangle, yeah, sort of thing, this wasn't a triangle, this was like a hexagon.
And you know what the best part of that mission was?
What was that?
When I went in and slaughtered a church full of praying grunts.
For the benefit of the tape and the lawyers, Alex is not condoning murdering a church.
No, I do not condone that. I only condone shooty in games. Shooty out of curries.
Okay. Now, moving forward from Alex.
Yeah, moving forward from church shootings.
Yes. But to be fair, there are very funny moments you can create in these games. I mean,
they have actually amped the humour up a bit, I find.
I mean, one thing that also stood out to me from... I mean, you touched on the graphics getting another push forward of this game. it would just look, because obviously we've got full HD on our Xbox Ones and our TVs, because you've got a brand new TV, I believe, like, well,
recently. Yeah, and I've got an Xbox One X. Oh, wait, no, I played it before the Xbox One X.
Yeah.
So it should be bumped up again now.
And we both use stereo headsets and everything, and it's, you know, it's... And
it's a pretty intense setup, to be fair. It's not cheap, is it?
It is, and I mean, I usually play Halo with the lights off. So you've got the full surround sound, and it's so intense. When the guardians of the title were all massing in the one place, sometimes me and Axel just stopping and just staring around, and we're like,
they were a sight shit. To see.
It was
actually kind of beautiful, to be honest.
Yeah. We have the same word at the same time. It actually was a beautiful... It's a beautiful piece of work. Stunning.
Cortana's role was played well enough in the story that she didn't really feel like a bad guy at first, did she?
No.
And then she just basically loses the plot and says her plan is to wipe out everyone apart from the good people.
Pretty much.
Which is going to be interesting to see how completely delusional she is in the next game.
Absolutely. Absolutely love the mind, for you, no doubt.
Right, let's continue.
She's actually just lost her mind, Alex. There's nothing about it. Her remnancy would have completely overtaken her. I mean, let's face it, she was already pushing the other guy out of the system as best she could. And it was intense. I don't know what else I can say about it. It's an intense story. And we've been invested in the story halfway through.
Which is more than we can say for Halo 4.
Yeah. I mean, the story was basically the thing to get the chief back out. That was it. I like the fact that there was another team of Spartans. Like Spartan Mark II, almost as it were.
Red team and blue team.
Yeah.
I like the fact that it's done in teams now. That it's not just an overpowered man by himself gunning down everyone. It's not Doom, it's Halo.
Exactly.
A squadron just feels better and more believable.
Not least because when you're playing multiplayer and you're playing split screen like we do, and bearing my Master Chief is the last Spartan and you've got two of them running around, kind of flies in the face of the mystery, unfortunately.
It just kind of defies the logic of the game itself.
But that was a good thing about Halo 3, because you had one person, in your case, this was you, as the Master Chief, the other person was the Arbiter.
Yeah, it makes sense. It works. They fought it out, really, and it just was sensible.
We just took the idea. And
it makes sense on why they couldn't do that with the other games, though, to be fair, letting them off a little bit.
But that's why they then did the same thing with Halo 5. Whereas they had a squad, so you had a lot more people to choose from. It makes sense.
And it didn't up the player count, did it?
Not particularly.
That's another thing to know, that obviously it ups the player count in the other games apart from this one, because you're a squadron.
That's one of the good things about it, Alex, as well, that the game they brought in, was the AI characters actually downhilled you.
That's one thing that games always miss. So, it's a godsend that they've come up with that.
The amount of time we would have lost if it hadn't been for that. I'm very grateful to it to it being a thing, definitely.
We didn't check out the online, unfortunately. It does look fun, but we just didn't have the time for it.
We didn't, but there's always time between now and, like...
Yeah, we can go back to it.
Get a little taste test. To be brutally honest, I'm going to be brutally honest, playing like Team Deathmatch, King of the Hill, that sort of thing, it doesn't appeal to me, mainly because I'll get my ass kicked.
I can understand that, to be honest. It's a bit like Call of Duty. I love it.
I'm in it for the story. But
if I went in online against other people, I'd have my ass handed to me because I don't have enough time invested to be good enough at the game.
I'm in these sort of games for the story, not for the multiplayer, because, you know, that's why I was upset when, for example, with Call of Duty a few years ago for Black Ops 4, they said, no story, just multiplayer. I'm like...
And they're charging you 50, 60 quid for a game where they've cut out the story.
They gave you Battle Royale mode, but to be fair,
what?
It wasn't what we wanted.
Fortnite and PUBG have a Battle Royale, so how many other games do we need? Call of Duty...
You've got Apex for that as well, if you want to
first. Yeah, Apex. I didn't really mention Apex because Apex just came out of nowhere, really. It was originally always PUBG, wasn't it?
Yeah, but PUBG sort of fade in the background now, and now it's Fortnite and Apex. But that's fine. That's fine. That's their genre, and they're designed for that.
Yeah.
Trying to make another game into it, not good.
It's just other games trying to jump on the cash cow, really, isn't it?
Dying Light, I'm trying to do a Dying Light 2, so I'm not happy about that. And
Okay.
Yeah, so I'll keep my eye on that one. Me and Ben will be all over that at some point. But Battle Royale modes, thankfully, Halo doesn't seem to have done that with Halo 6, so good. We don't need that. Even though Halo could make it quite work quite easily by having a Halo ring, actually.
It would work. A Halo ring... Having the map on the Halo ring or on one of the main ships would be an interesting idea.
It's a potentially... It actually could be worked on that one. But in terms of... We had no network issues, did we, really? No, any connection issues at all? The only issue we had was when we got too tired, really. And that was our own fault.
So, right. Any highlights and dislikes about Halo 5?
I liked... The story was crisp and to the point. I liked how they really played up the relevancy of Cortana. How not all of the Spartans wanted to go after Master Chief. I loved the story because it showed that even the Spartans were trying to split on the ideas about him and can Master Chief be trusted? Again, they revamped the control scheme apart from the fucking vehicles.
If only I had a violin for every time you mentioned the vehicles. I mean, if this was on YouTube, you can, every time we mention the word vehicles, Matt, like, fucking twitches.
In fairness, it can't be that hard to put accelerator on the right trigger and brake on the left trigger.
It can be much difficult to improve. Nowadays, having everything done through the thumbstick in the camera, it's just unnecessary.
It is. But aside from that, they did make some good improvements to the control schemes. As you said, looking through the scopes, long overdue. Flick through a few buttons to choose which ordnance you wanted on one bumper. Perfect. You can actually send your AI teammates to cover and do this and never via squad controls. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. They would heal you. I loved all that stuff. And it was nice and clear and concise for us as well. It was crisp and the graphics were great. It was very good. It was very good. Happy.
I'm more or less the same, to be honest. Combat is improved beyond perfection. As you said, you've got the aiming through scopes, you've got squadron controls. It's just how it should be.
Yeah.
It no longer feels like a solo combat session, does it?
No.
The graphics are just crisp beyond point. No lags, no frame cuts. It's just perfect.
It is. And I'm thinking about that.
I think my only drawbacks is literally just still the vehicle controls.
Yeah,
there is nothing worse than trying to fly a plane in that game.
Do we have the Pelican in that one?
Ugh, you didn't fly Pelican, you were on the turret, but the controls for the Pelican were just... Ugh. Every time I think about flying that Pelican, I take a month off of my life.
facts not good, Alex.
Right.
You are much more junior, that is not a good thing.
I'm just hoping, because I know the next game will always be an improvement on the old when it comes to graphics and most likely the combat. But my main worry is if they can top the story to Halo 5. Because Halo 6 has to be the end, doesn't it? I don't think they can push the story into any more games than one more.
Well,
I know they can, but I mean, they'll have to push something out of their asses if they want to make it better than Halo 5.
Well,
and to continue the story.
I guess we'll find out.
Yeah, so, we're a fair way off that game yet, I think. Possibly. Probably 2021.
So would you go back and play, Alex?
Definitely. There is no reason why you... The game is fun by itself, but with friends or multiplayer, the story is really enjoyable.
Yeah. I'm very happy having Alex as my teammate on this one. We've been, like, sometimes bicker when it comes to video games, when we play co-op. There was no bickering at any point. We've actually grown as a combat pair, actually. He's going to sound really corny, but he's a part I can trust, have my back.
Aww. Though there's a couple of times where I've killed you and laughed.
True, but I have done the same to you.
Fair enough.
So, to be fair, we both give as good as we get, but in fairness, that's a banter between mates. So.
Right. Yeah. So time. The final part, unless you've got anything else to add?
Score time.
Well, that was the final part, but all right, fair enough.
Okay, so score, Alex. I would give it... I'll give it an 8. It's not quite Halo 2 and 3 territory yet, but it returned to good form.
I'm going to give it the same score. I don't think it can ever top the original 3, but I don't think any game will top the original 3, but it had the combat improvements that it so desperately needed.
Yeah.
They had to change something, and they've allowed that change and just perfected it.
They really have. They've, they've gone above and beyond to, like, fix some of the problems 4 had. So, to that, I give them all the credit in the world as to how good 6 is.
We'll have to wait and see. It's coming out on the Xbox One?
It's coming out on One and on Series X, yeah. Oh,
so, perhaps it will be sooner than I'm thinking.
So, I'm not sure for certain, but I do know a lot of... for example, CD Projekt Red have said that no one should pay for the game, same game twice. So Cyberpunk will be available as a free upgrade to Series 1X.
Which is just fantastic of them. Mm. I've always liked them as a company, and the fact they're doing that is just incredible, isn't it?
It's a game changer, what it is, Alex. But
I think it also shows how nice Microsoft can be, because if you've noticed, that isn't an option on the PS5 yet.
It's not yet, no.
If it's ever going to be.
Well, Sony keeping the cards close to their chest, as Chris has said on his show, the fact that Sony have ducked out of so many conferences this year, are they not wanting to talk about the PS5? Microsoft want to talk about the Series 1X every chance they get.
I know it, but to be fair, have you read the spec sheet for it?
It's amazing. Amazing.
It's going to be hard to top, and I had a PS4, and I ended up selling it because I preferred my Xbox. I had friends on PS4, but it just didn't appeal enough to me to keep it.
Exactly, and if it doesn't appeal to you, you shouldn't keep it.
That's why I'm quite excited how out there they've been with the Xbox X Series how good the specs are, the features they're allowing, like that it's supporting full backwards compatibility.
Pretty much every game will be backwards compatible, which
is huge.
Is. And that, bearing in mind the amount of game between the two of us we actually have on download, that's a lot of games.
There's only one thing that's always bothered me about Xbox. That's the exclusives. That's always one thing that Sony have trumped them for, isn't it?
So you mean in games along the lines like Final Fantasy VII?
I mean, I've never really played Final Fantasy, but you look at it, Final Fantasy, Spider-Man, The Last of Us, God of War, they really do excel for the exclusives, don't they?
You say that, Alex, someone who wasn't impressed with Spider-Man.
Oh, I couldn't get on with it. I didn't like the controls at all.
But that aside, I do agree. They do have some exclusives, but at the same time, as good as those exclusives are, as proven, Alex, you had a PS4 and you still got rid of it.
That is a proven point. And I don't know what these consoles are going to cost. It's obvious they're going to be more than the ones of the current generation.
Chris did touch on it briefly in his last episode. Guys, do go back and check it out last week. It was a great listen, as always. I'm not just saying that because I edited the damn show. But it is always a good listen, okay? Because we've said many times, we blag our show. We do. But at the end of the day, Chris's information is always on the money.
He's a facts guy, isn't he? We just give our opinion and tell you whether it sucks or whether it's good, but
pretty much
he goes down to the facts, doesn't he?
Exactly, and that's why you get him 1 week and you come to us for a chill out a week after. But
you don't come to this one for fact finding.
Not traditionally, no. But regarding the price of the Xbox Series X, I know that I haven't got a payout for a full one because it's one I can share with Chris. So it's not too much of a problem on that one for me. So, you know.
That's a fair point. As for me, what I'll end up doing is, because I did the same with the Xbox One. It came out in November, but I didn't actually buy one until the end of February because I wanted to see what was coming out for it, what the reviews were. Updates, because obviously there's always bug fixes and then there's the price drop, so I'm not in a rush. There will be some decent games out for it right at the end. We got Marvel Avengers, we got Cyberpunk, so I'm happy to hold out till the end of February again
and
see what comes out.
And the amount of games that will be available on both consoles, we can still play the new releases probably on the Xbox One as well, so it's not a problem with that one. I do worry a little bit about that if Xbox, not all the games are going to be upscaled, how much Xbox is going to miss out on some cash or some sales on the Xbox Series X.
We'll have to wait and see. At the end of the day, it's down to them what they're going to do. So just have to wait and see, really.
Absolutely. Right, so we've wrapped up our chat about Halo for this time, Alex. Is there anything we want to talk about before we head off?
When this is released, in 19 days from the day this is released on Saturday, we will be at EGX Rest.
This is... it's like the baby brother of EGX. Now, we are aware, at time of recording, there is quite a serious issue in the world right now with the coronavirus. And that's not a joking matter. I mean, we're not joking about it. And we are taking our own precautions without using our own hand sanitizers and things like that. So it's purely to make sure that we don't spread it, you know, because, you know, unfortunately, it's a thing now.
Unfortunately, it's inevitable. You can't always avoid anything, but...
No, but we're going to be sensible when we're going to take all precautions. But that aside, the part of the reason why we weren't here 2 weeks ago was because we were partially doing prep for Rez, And by that, I mean Alex watching D&D.
Watching D&D and being a part-time farmer, which is... Shout out to farmers, because they do work hard.
Exactly. But yeah, in Alex now wants to play Dungeons & Dragons, which is good, because at some point this year, we are going to be talking with tabletop gamers in general. And because Game Junkies, you don't have to be a video gamer to enjoy gaming. So so it's nice that Alex's his landscape is now much more broader, and he wants to play Dungeons & Dragons.
Yeah, I look over the horizon and I see a dragon on the hill.
Quite literally.
Or just stop backflipping onto a chandelier.
Yeah. Shout out to you, Luke Westway. You do a great job as Dob. And look forward to hopefully meeting you and definitely seeing you in two shows at Res. But I think at Res, we've got so much looking forward to, because it is purely indie games, guys. So this is what we focus on so much with such passion, AGX. And so we get to spend 3 days playing the best indie games, talking to some amazing people. And I will get a chance to properly introduce Alex to some actual tabletop gaming. And he's smiling now.
I'm excited. I will admit, I've been won over by watching OX Ventures.
Yeah. So, like a better term, he has passed the charisma persuasion check. So that's a good thing. Absolutely. I'm looking forward to it as well. Even if I've got to stuck around for 5 nights in a bedroom together, it's fine.
You're in twin beds. We got it, the twin room.
We are in different beds.
And just for saying that, if there is only one double bed in a single bed, you're ending up with a single bed.
I don't mind. Premier Inn's got good beds. I do not mind that at all.
As long as it's better than Travelodge. I stayed in a twin room after being at work once, and I was like, no, I'll take the single bed. And I woke up in the morning, my feet are freezing. You want to know why? Because they're sticking out the end of the bed.
And Alex isn't even that tall either. Right. No, taller than I am, but he's still not the tallest person in the
world.
Yeah,
Matt's still the person who has to use an extension ladder to get in the cupboard behind him.
I'm 5'8.5".
Oh, diddums. Do you want me to get someone off the top shelf for you?
Alex, behave yourself. Right. So yeah, between now and the next episode, we've got one more coming out for Res. That means, Alex, we don't quite know what we're going to be doing for it yet, but we have got a few ideas in the pipework with some guests coming. We have got guests coming to join us at some point as well during this year. So listen out for that, guys. That'll be worth it. Anything else to say, Mr. Heffernan?
That's about it for me.
Okay, then. I am Matt.
And I'm Alex.
We are the Game Junkies, and gaming is our addiction. We are at it.
This podcast is a Matt's Tech production for the Visionaries Wrestling Network.